great state of Oregon, Cottage Grove, Oregon. She has a fine church there, that Living Word Ministries. They meet on Sunday. And folks, Terry, how can folks from that part of the country get in touch with you?
Oh, well, they could call me probably at my home phone. Would you want me to give it to you?
Oh, sure. If you give it to me, I'll put it up on the... And we can say it real quickly. We're signing out now, but...
Okay, 541-942-1384.
Senior editor of the New American Magazine, and now certainly is working with Welch Foundation, is going ahead and writing books and putting up blogs, and of course doing other people's radio programs as well as Radio Liberty. So we always look forward to having William with us, especially in exciting times like this. Thanks so very much. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, one of the things we have to talk about, and I do appreciate the kind remarks, Dr. Stanton, is the ever-accelerating and increasingly obvious tendency that we see on the part of government to make use of all kinds of foul and unconstitutional means in order to get law-abiding citizens to submit to the will of the oligarchy that rules us. And there was a really interesting piece this morning in the Progressive magazine, that's sort of a left-leaning journal that does have a pretty good record in terms of supporting the Bill of Rights and civil liberties as understood by people who respect the Constitution as created by our founders, regarding a program I had not really been all that aware of. As a matter of fact, I hadn't been aware of it at all. I knew that there was something of this sort in existence that was created by the FBI in 1996 called InfraGard, InfraGard, and the G is capitalized as one word. And this was created in 1996, supposedly as sort of a civilian auxiliary to the FBI, for the purpose of keeping an eye on the information infrastructure in the event that there was some kind of a cyber attack by a terrorist organization or by a foreign government. And InfraGard, according to this piece from the Progressive, has more than 23,000 representatives of private industry working in some 86 chapters nationwide. And the way it's described here in the Progressive is that they are working quietly with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. They receive secret warnings of terrorist threats before the public does, and at least on one occasion before elected officials. In return, they provide information to the government, which alarms the ACLU, and in spite of the fact that the ACLU is alarmed, I think reasonable people should be alarmed as well. I don't have a whole lot of respect for the ACLU. They may be right in this particular instance. And the Progressive continues by saying, there may be more to it than that. One business executive who showed me his InfraGard card told me they have permission to shoot to kill in the event of martial law. InfraGard is a child of the FBI, says Michael Hirschman, the chairman of the advisory board of the InfraGard National Members Alliance and CEO of the Fairfax Group, an international consulting firm. The article goes on to say that it was created in 1996. When the private sector there in Cleveland cooperated with the FBI to investigate cyber threats. The really interesting thing, Dr. Stan, to me, is that in recent days, and of course a few days ago in President Bush's State of the Union address, we hear this constant theme being reiterated by the Bush administration and the supporters, that the telecommunications industry, those elements of the telecommunications industry that cooperated with the Bush administration's warrantless wiretap program, this surveillance program that is consummately unconstitutional, which basically subjected all of our electronic transmissions, whether you're talking about voice transmissions, emails, BlackBerry communications, things of this sort, that may have some kind of a connection to an overseas correspondent. All these things have been subject to whole-scale surveillance by the Bush administration, and the Bush administration says that those telecom companies that cooperated in this unconstitutional and illegal scheme need to be given retroactive immunity so they won't be prosecuted for doing things which were against the statutory law and certainly a violation of the Constitution's privacy guarantees, the Fourth Amendment, protection against unlawful surveillance, things of that sort. And at the same time, you've got this group working with the FBI that's been in existence for a dozen years now, which is infrastructure, information infrastructure security, and these people supposedly be deputized to shoot to kill.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Honey, I'll be right back.
Brittany, your husband looks so good tonight.
I just worry about his high blood pressure. He gets uptight so easily.
I know. My Gary has high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I always think about the what if.
I know.
Ladies, you need to get your husband's Coco Pure Chocolate Tea.
Chocolate tea?
That sounds delicious.
The information is all over the news. Cocoa without the high fat and an extract from red wine are both shown to have heart benefits, including supporting healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels.
See, I told you chocolate was good for us.
To try Coco Pure risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. Coco Pure contains a red wine extract and pure cocoa, and is natural and healthy for anyone. Coco Pure is especially recommended for those with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or a family history of heart disease. Call now for your delicious risk-free trial. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network and Chris Ark. Our guest today is William Grieg, and we're talking about the system of informants that they're establishing here in America, in the name of fighting terrorism. But nobody ever points out that, certainly our government backed the Al-Qaeda contingent in Bosnia back in the mid-1990s, and certainly was backing the people who were behind the Kosovo Liberation Movement, which was Al-Qaeda, you know, during the late 1990s. Why would we have been backing them? Because we knew that they were trying to destroy us, or were they really trying to destroy us? Certainly our leaders are not foolish. Why would they have backed Al-Qaeda? Why would we be backing Saudi Arabia today, that's financing the entire world terrorist movement, along with Pakistan, who we're giving large sums of money to, as they give money to their intelligence agency that gives money to the Taliban that's killing our boys. So perhaps we ought to begin looking behind the scenes. Are we really involved in a war on terrorism, or is this used as facade to justify setting up a police state, a planned police state in America with informants and certainly video cameras on every street corner and video cameras before the ATMs and video cameras in stores and video cameras in schools and video cameras, certainly, you know, every place you look. In England today, it is estimated that every British citizen, or almost on average, is photographed 300 times a day. How many times are you photographed a day? And certainly, are we moving towards freedom, or are we moving towards a tyranny here in the United States in the name of fighting that wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave over there in Afghanistan, or perhaps in Pakistan, planning on how he's going to take away our freedom? Go right ahead, William.
I think it's important to point out that the garrison state or police state you're talking about would be the enforcement arm of an oligarchy that really would create sort of a neo-feudalist type of a system where you'd have a ruling elite that would basically have control over everything that we supposedly own, everything that we supposedly earn, everything we aspire to do, and the only way that we'd enjoy any status if we're not part of that elite is by being the chattel of the feudal lords who are running the system. And another way of looking at us, at this system and the society that's being created around us would be that you have to understand that the economic system we're living under right now is not free market capitalism, and it hasn't been for quite some time. It's a form of corporatism, which can be defined as socialism for the wealthy. In practice, all socialism is socialism for the wealthy because it's about controlling rather than sharing the wealth, and about entrenching the elite in charge of redistribution as opposed to bringing about a more egalitarian allotment of property. But corporate socialism is really fascism. It's the system in which you have a marriage, a really corrupt union between a big unaccountable government that is presided over by a largely unaccountable executive whose powers are basically limitless on the one hand, and politically protected corporate interests on the other, who collaborate eagerly in what the ruling elite seeks to do. And in that system, because there is no way to bring about a system of that sort, if you actually have competitive free market economics in play, the corporate elites always are looking for the service of the political elites to put down competition and to ensure that there are protected arrangements that are monopolies. Every monopoly is a government monopoly, or cartels, in which you have people get together for the purpose of sharing in a corrupt fashion and keeping other people out of a given economic venture. And the telecom industry right now is very much in bed with the Bush administration in classic corporatist fashion, which is why the Bush administration is asking for retroactive immunity to those telecommunications giants that collaborated in this illegal warrantless wiretapping program. That was something Mr. Bush touched on in the State of the Union address just a few days ago. And now we see this relationship between the FBI and, among other people, those who are involved in the creation and maintenance of the information infrastructure. This so-called InfraGuard program, which began with the information technology sector but has moved on to include such areas as agriculture, banking, and finance, the chemical industry, I'm reading now from information provided by InfraGuard, defense, of course, energy, food, information, and telecommunications, law enforcement, public health, and transportation. They just have this huge and expanding network of people who are tied into the enforcement mechanism of the federal government. And these people do act as the eyes and ears of the state. It's like the old TIPS program they were talking about way back in 2002, 2003, create this system of human surveillance that would be in rather grand fashion, an enlargement on the old system of block captains and neighborhood surveillance programs that were put in place in the National Socialist Germany. This wasn't neighborhood watch we're talking about. This was watch your neighbors. And you have the same thing going on in North Korea and in Cuba today. And the TIPS program would have been that sort of a concept on steroids. Now you've got basically a corporate TIPS program where these people who are involved in, for instance, according to this report, Fortune 350 companies, if you will, the 350 wealthiest corporations, all have their representatives in councils of this FBI program, InfraGuard. And so you've got a very corrupt union, a marriage between the surveillance and regimentation element of the federal government on the one hand and corporations and industry on the other hand. And that, of course, means that they will work for each other's benefit, not necessarily for the public interest, meaning for the interest of those of us who are the hoi polloi, the commoners, the bourgeoisie, the struggling middle class and former middle class, but also just people who aspire to do something better in their lives. And they're directing this attention at us, not on our behalf. They're not looking out for this enemy. They're not looking outside to protect us from the enemy. They're keeping all of us under scrutiny. And this is very much, I think, a complementary piece of the puzzle when you take a look at the other half of the whole system of informants. We've talked about this before. The FBI has 102 joint terrorism task forces scattered across the country. and it admits to having something like 15,000 confidential informants or confidential sources on his payroll. I believe that the numbers are much larger than that, but in his budget request for 2008, the FBI admitted that it keeps these 15,000 cooperating confidential informants on its payroll. The Drug Enforcement Administration has another 4,000 or so. And every state and local police agency has its own confidential informants. Some of the largest cities have whole armies of them. And these people are given inducements in order to build criminal cases against people, particularly when you're talking about drug enforcement cases, but also in national security cases. We've seen this whole parade of supposed terrorist plots, the supposed plot against Fort Dix, the supposed plot of the Seas of David group to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago, a number of plots of this sort, and as we looked into the details, we've seen that there's always a confidential informant right in the middle of the thing who is catalyzing whatever transient radical impulses might be in the hearts and minds of the Muslim populations that these people infiltrate. And then it is the informant who always takes the step of radicalizing these people and saying that he can provide them with the means to carry out jihad against these various targets. And often the people who are the targets of the operation will initially say, well, leave us alone, we're not interested in doing this. But bit by bit, with the help of people in the FBI who are adept at manipulating people psychologically, these people get radicalized to the point where at least they'll sit down and listen to the pitch that's being made for terrorism on the part of this cooperating informant for the FBI. And the FBI is out manufacturing these episodes, manufacturing these incidents. I think you're right, Dr. Stan, when you say that it's almost as if they're orchestrating, they're stage managing a play for our edification so as to keep us in a constant state of alarm, or at least a receptive state in which we will accept the idea that there is this permanent and growing menace outside that we have to be protected from, which means we have to turn over more of our liberties to the state. But also, I think, for the purpose of developing techniques that can be used against the rest of us. It's not just the Muslims that are being targeted by this, and it's not just the radicals who have a natural disposition toward violence. I mean, these are techniques that will be used against anybody who would express publicly his dissent from or his objections to the policy of the government that rules us.
I'm afraid this is the sort of thing that's going on. And, of course, this is not simply for terrorists. It's anybody who is they want to get. And that's what they did with John DeLorean. They had a man move in close to him and work for 2 or 3 years to gain his confidence. And then when John DeLorean, of course, got into financial troubles because the FBI was going around and telling every lender in the country not to lend John DeLorean, then this good close friend said he knew somebody who had the money and they could provide the money for him. Anyway, of course, what happened was they set up a possibility of exchanging it. When they opened the suitcase, John DeLorean thought it was going to be full of money. It was full of cocaine, and he was arrested. And it was all a setup by the FBI. But you never heard that, of course. And they've done this with so many people. They've infiltrated conservative organizations like Media Bypass, like my friend Sydney Pat Patriciana, who put out a film critical of the Clintons back in 1994 called The Clinton Chronicles. They did this to Michael Rupert. They do it to conservative organizations all across America. They infiltrate them with their people. Why are they doing that? Well, very simply, no one is to oppose the government.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of these joint terrorism task forces, the one in Phoenix back in 1999, put out a trifold pamphlet that it distributed to law enforcement and civilian groups in the Phoenix area, listing a number of categories of potential terrorists and telling people that if they detected the activities described in this pamphlet, they were to report to the FBI by way of the joint terrorism task force. And right at the beginning, the very first category listed were so-called super patriots and constitutionalists. In other words, if you believe that the rights of the people and the Constitution itself have to be defended from the government that rules us, that you're a potential terrorist. And it was the first category listed, meaning I believe that they thought that they were the greatest terrorist threat. And if you examine what's really going on, obviously people who understand the Constitution and who have plighted their troth to the Constitution and the Republic that it created, they're obviously the biggest threat to the government as it exists right now, because we live in an era of post-constitutional government. The last thing they want is for the Constitution to have relevance once again in our political system and our political calculations.
And we actually, we have that item, actually, that report, Terrorism Task Force reports up on my webpage if you want to see it, right at www.radioliberty.com. And if you believe in the Constitution, you are a potential terrorist, according to that FBI report. We'll be right back.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity culture element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened at the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Stand back here, the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Griggenworth. basically talking about. We're talking about this move away from freedom towards tyranny, and most Americans find that so difficult to believe, but there are people who certainly favor an authoritarian form of government. Certainly Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his closest advisor, Colonel House, wanted to establish a fascist society in America, and fortunately the Supreme Court at that time wouldn't allow them to do it. So then, of course, FDR packed the Supreme Court with Masons who would go along with his agenda, and certainly between 1941 and 1971, why the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1, and during that period of time, they transformed America. They took God out of our schools. They centralized all power in Washington, D.C. They found a woman had a right to have an abortion. All of these things were directly or indirectly related to the heritage of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but there really are people who believe that they have the right to rule and that we should be subject to their control. And this has always been the battle with government down through the ages. That's why our founding fathers realized that liberty and limited government were synonymous, and that tyranny and total government are synonymous. And I would simply ask our listeners, which direction are we headed for? Limited government or total government control and monitoring of the individual? William, pick up the story.
Yeah, the person you alluded to, Edward Mandel House, was an intimate advisor to two of the most, you would have to say, tyrannical presidents in American history. He advised both Woodrow Wilson and FDR. As a matter of fact, you've probably seen, or you may even offer to your listeners, a copy of some of the correspondence between Colonel House. The title was honor, was an honorary one. I mean, he was a colonel in the same sense, I guess, that Colonel Sanders was a colonel. He never served in the military. But so-called Colonel House corresponded with FDR in letters to Hyde Park right after FDR was elected in 1932. And one of the things that happened immediately after FDR was brought into office, when he was inaugurated in March of that year, was that he actually had an audience with Colonel House. And shortly thereafter, during that storied 100 days, I think FDR was the one who invented that 100-day milestone period during which there'd be this frenzy of executive activity, almost all of which, of course, laid the foundation for the system we're living under right now, economically, basically implementing the same things that had happened during Woodrow Wilson's reign during World War One, when we were living under overt war socialism, when Bernard Baruch was the grand panjandrum of the economy, and he had the ability basically to act as the chief commissar for the entire industrial economy of the United States. And that was basically the model used for the economic emergency created by the Depression. And more properly stated, created by the Depression and then by the policies that were imposed supposedly to cure the Depression under Herbert Hoover. And there was a lot of continuity between Hoover and FDR in that respect. You know, rather than allowing a Depression to take place and working the excess capacity out of the economy and cleaning up the bad patterns of malinvestment and bad debt and so forth and letting the free market recuperate naturally, you had intervention by Washington in order to prop up these politically favored businesses in ways that prolonged the Depression. But FDR met with House, and then his brain trust, as it was grandly called, started studying the works of Giovanni Gentile, the Italian fascist theorist, who talked about the corporatist structure that was being created in Italy under Mussolini. It's not well understood, but Mussolini, until 1938 or so, was considered to be perhaps the model world leader. You could actually go back and take a look at the press clippings from the 1920s and early 1930s. He was seen as a harbinger of the systems to come, politically and economically, an inspiring figure who was bringing Italy boldly into the 20th century. And it wasn't until he became an ally of the Axis and the United States entered the war against the Axis that Mussolini was looked upon as a figure of scorn. But Giovanni Gentile's model was to create these huge corporative systems that would interface with an executive-driven government that would have pretty much arbitrary power to regulate the economy. You'd have nominally private ownership of property, but you'd have political control of the economy and over the property that's supposedly privately held. And folks, we're up to our eyeballs in that system right now. It's not just federal, it's also local. If you don't believe me, take a look at the policies being handed down by your local planning and zoning board. If you think you're on, you own your own property and you end up getting crosswise with the Planning and Zoning Commission, you'll find out very quickly you do not, in fact, own your property. You basically have nominal title to your property, but the owners are the people who can dispatch the local SWAT team to make you comply with their edicts if you're not inclined to agree with them. But that is a microcosm of this whole system that we're seeing created right now. And what's going on with the economy as the dollar declines and as the market gyrates and as the debt burden increases and people find themselves once again having to deal with an inflation, a price inflation treadmill that is ever increasing in velocity and altitude.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
Now you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest, of course, is William Grieg. And William, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your latest book, and how they can get the information that you have available.
To go to the website maintained by the Welch Foundation called Right Source. The Right Source is accessible at www.rightsourceonline.com. Once again, that's one word. RightSourceOnline.com, and at the top of that page you'll find a banner ad for my new book, which is entitled Liberty and Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State, that just came out a few weeks ago. And that is a 312-page study of what's going on with respect to the creation of this all-encompassing garrison state surveillance society. Police state is a more commonly used expression to describe what I'm talking about here. The fact that we now have a centralized and increasingly militarized Homeland Security apparatus under a largely unaccountable executive branch headed by a president who claims the authority to suspend habeas corpus, to imprison anybody he deems worthy of imprisonment without any kind of legal recourse by designating that person as an unlawful enemy combatant, whether he's an American citizen or a foreigner, to order torture, to order the summary execution of people as supposed threats to Homeland Security. The fact that we have a system now where practically everything we do or say can be recorded in real time and then put into databases to be used as evidence against us for the purpose of categorizing us as threats to Homeland Security. It's particularly true for those of us who are involved in electronic communications. That would, you could round that up to probably everybody now with home computing and cellular telephones and such like. The fact that we no longer really have a safety net in a constitutional sense, because the foundational right of our whole concept of due process, which is the habeas corpus guarantee, that is the prohibition against the government putting us in prison without justifying our detention before a competent legal authority, that has been done away with, in effect, as of September 2006. But all these things are fleshed out in my book, and the purpose of this book is not merely to horrify, it is to horrify and then to infuriate people into action. And once again, I've explained this before, but the reason why the book has the title that it's been given, Liberty and Eclipse, has to do with the nature of an eclipse. An eclipse is a temporary phenomenon. It occurs and then it passes and normalcy is restored. That's what I hope will happen. I hope that people will be shocked and catalyzed and energized and propelled into action to do something about preserving what remains of our freedoms so that we can take back the freedoms that have been stolen from us. I also write a daily blog. By daily, I mean I aspire to publish something daily, but generally it's published 3 to 5 times a week. It's available through RightSourceOnline.com. You go down the left-hand side of the screen. If you scroll down about a third of the way down the page, the first page of that website, you'll find my photograph. And next to my photograph, there is a hyperlink that will take you to my blog, which is called Pro Libertate. That is a Latin phrase that means for freedom. And the purpose of the Pro Libertate blog is to publish as regularly as I can an essay that would be generally anywhere from 1,200 to 2,000 words that would develop a theme relevant to something that has just happened in the news or something that is a development that I believe symbolizes or expresses some deeper, more significant conflict. For instance, today I wrote a piece about this horrible shooting yesterday that took place in this little town in Missouri involving this unfortunate fellow, Charles Thornton, who had been involved in a long-standing feud with the municipal government over 150 tickets that had been given to him because he had been parking his vehicles in the wrong section of town. He maintained a small asphalt and demolition business. And so this conflict escalated to the point where Mr. Thornton filed a lawsuit, and then not getting satisfaction in the lawsuit, he decided to take matters in his own hands. Unfortunately, the course of action he chose was to shoot and kill a number of people. I believe he killed 5 people, wounded 2, and then was killed by police when he opened fire at a city council meeting. And the point I'm making is not that it's a good idea to go out and murder people. It's a manifestly bad idea to murder people. It is a horrible thing to do. It is a grievous sin and offense before God and man. But to point out that what's happening now is that there is a conflict emerging between the makers and takers, between those who make a living and those who take a living, and that it's playing out at the level of municipal governments and county governments and perhaps state governments, because unlike the federal government, these more immediate, more intimate levels of government don't have the option of simply creating money out of nothing, and they're becoming really desperate for revenue. And one of the things that's happening is we're seeing the regulatory screws being tightened very ferociously at the local level, and as they do that, people start to get really tense and wound up themselves. There's another instance I talk about here where a barber in Tennessee by the name of Ronald Bo Ward went to a city council meeting last October, and rather than shooting a city councilman or a mayor, he simply committed suicide because he couldn't get a regulatory decision from the planning and zoning board that would permit him to have his barbershop rezoned so he could go out and take out a loan in order to manage his finances more more easily for him. He'd gone into debt in order to expand his barbershop. He needed a zoning waiver so that he could get a loan. He needed to be zoned commercial residential. For whatever reason, the Planning and Zoning Board said they didn't want to do this. It wouldn't have changed the material nature of what he was doing in the home. It just would have permitted him to save his business because he faced financial ruin and because he knew that he didn't have the political clout to get that decision. Out of frustration, he killed himself. That's two instances just in the last 4 or 5 months where we've seen horrible things happen at city council meetings having to do with this issue of planning and zoning, which really is where the rubber meets the road in terms of socialist and social engineering regulation of property rights and businesses. And I think, once again, as the economy really goes south and turns sour, and you find this conflict between cash-strapped municipal governments and economically overburdened productive people, some ugly things might happen. You know, God preserve us from more of these types of incidents, but my purpose in writing this essay was to say this very well might be the proverbial fireball in the night. We might be seeing the opening sparks that could become a conflagration. But that's the type of thing I'm trying to do with this blog, is to take a look at what's going on in the news and try to get beneath the surface of it a little bit, to look at the plate tectonics of these issues so that people can anticipate what's likely to happen in the immediate future with respect to this eternal and eternally relevant conflict between the state and the individual's rights.
But that has always been the battle. It's been the battle since the beginning of time between man and his rulers. And men want to be free, and the rulers want to rule them. And it doesn't matter whether they're emperors or kings or whether they're simply petty bureaucrats. Petty bureaucrats working for government and just really enjoying the power they have over the lives of other people. In fact, you go back and you read what actually Cicero was talking about, 2,000 years ago, about how, you know, the budget should be balanced, and then of course we should stop our spending, get our debt under control, and then he said, and the arrogance of the bureaucracy should be tempered.
Yes.
And lastly, of course, that aid for foreign countries has to be limited, else Rome will go bankrupt. Well, Rome went bankrupt, and they assassinated Cicero. They didn't want anybody saying what you and I are saying today.
Yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, Mark Antony, against whom Cicero devoted, I believe it was his 24 speeches called the Philippics, because they were written and performed in the style of Demosthenes' orations against Philip of Macedon, the ancient Greek warnings against tyranny. When Cicero was taken off the boat by men in the hire of Mark Antony, not only did they cut off his head, but they cut off the right hand of that wonderful statesman in order, because they wanted to make a point of taking the hand that had written those splendid, incisive critiques of Mark Antony's tyrannical ambitions. You're right. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about somebody who is an emperor or a president, a kaiser or a shah, a caesar, a king, or a land use planner. There's this bizarre impulse that people have to seek power over others, and this perverse gratification people get from making other people submit to them. I have no interest in making people submit to me. There was a song that came out about 23 years ago by a band called Tears for Fears called Everybody Wants to Rule the World. That's not entirely true. There are those of us who simply want to be left alone. We want to manage our own households and own our own property, raise our own families, worship God, develop whatever talents God has blessed us with. We have no interest in ruling the world. But there are people who will settle for nothing less than ruling whatever element of the world falls under their dominion. And unfortunately, politics attracts that type of people. They're unavoidable. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about your city council, you're talking about the United Nations, the principle remains the same. And that's why there have to be checks and balances on all forms of representative politics, whether you're talking about city council having immediate recall in terms of what the voters can do to protect themselves against the abuses of their rights at the local level, or whether you're talking about the grand principles of the Constitution that limit what the general government can do. But it's becoming more and more plain to me that as the economy really becomes ugly and traditional revenue streams start to dry up, these people that rule us at the local level, who are more part of the same system that the feds are than being representatives of, they're part of that same caste, the same ruling caste we're talking about, they're going to become more perversely creative in finding ways to regulate and to criminalize the lives that the rest of us lead, because that's simply the way the government is structured. Government is pure consumption. It produces nothing. It is the exercise of finding ways of extracting from the honest and laborious part of the population the means of providing for government's perpetual existence. It subsists upon the labor of others. There are limited and specific things that government can and should do, and beyond that it should do no more. And unfortunately, right now, we're living in a society that can't understand that proposition. They cannot hold a conversation, as it were, with the founding fathers, with the ancestors who created a republic, because they can't think of the same terms that our founding fathers thought of, in terms of individual rights and dignity, and the danger of giving power to men in order to rule over others. It's just taken for granted right now that government is a benevolent institution, and that when we see it do things that attest to its malevolence, we're not really seeing the nature of government. We're seeing an abuse of government. We're seeing an abuse of a wonderful institution. No. I mean, government is a result of the fall. You know, government, like death and disease, is a result of the fall of man. We'll never be free of it until he whose right it is to rule returns and we're living in millennial splendor. But that doesn't mean, by virtue of the fact that it's a permanent thing, that we should consider it a good thing. It's simply part of the reality we're dealing with right now. And in order to understand reality, you've got to understand that everything government does is backed up with the threat of lethal force.
You know, I think it's really so interesting that the pretty founding fathers recognized that men were inherently evil. And
yep.
Their thought was, look, if men are inherently evil, why should we give power to government that will be run by evil men who will want to use that power to exert their influence and over the lives of the people? That's why they wanted to limit the power of government. And that is why our government is different than any other government ever created, because it was the only government where the power was to be limited by the chains of the Constitution, by the chains of the document. And this is never taught in school, and yet that is why people from throughout the world came to America, why America was the beacon of freedom for so long, and yet tragically, once we've allowed the wicked people to take power and to negate our Constitution and to violate it without being sent off to prison where they should go, because they violated their oath to uphold the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. These people, these traitors, these treasonous people working in Washington, D.C., who swear to uphold our Constitution and are working to destroy it and to merge us into a one-world government, until people understand what's really going on. This battle between freedom and slavery that has been fought since the beginning of mankind, but is being played out right today in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately, the tyrants are in control.
That's entirely true. And one of the things that most people don't understand is that for most of human history, the tyrants have been in control. The liberties that we have enjoyed, that we have come to expect as our birthright, represent perhaps an open parenthesis and a very brief one in the vast sweep of human history. Even those antecedents of the American Republic, if you take a look at the Anglo-Saxon heritage of liberty under law and the roots that go back through Rome and Greece and particularly back to the Hebrews, all those former societies, all of our ancestors in that respect, the antecedents of the American Republic were in very significant ways inferior to it because, as you correctly pointed out, not a single one of the governments that we're talking about was founded on this vital biblical understanding of the depravity of man. And the natural coefficient thereof, which is that you cannot trust fallen man with power over other fallen men. They both have to be ruled by the law. They both have to be subject. They have to be equal before the law. That's what is meant by that wonderful phrase in the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal? No, we're manifestly not created equal in terms of talents, abilities, and physical attractiveness. We're all equal before the law. You know, King George III was equal before the law with Thomas Jefferson and with the lowliest peasant sharecropper in Virginia or Maryland. That's the point of the Declaration of Independence, where our relationship to the law is a horizontal one, which means that government has no mystical, numinous power that exempts those who exercise political power from the laws that govern the rest of us. They can only do those things that we individually can do. They do it in our name, in circumstances that are perfectly moral, and morally defined by the law that is perfect, more importantly, which is to say that they can use lethal force when we can use lethal force, and in no other circumstance, you know, for the purpose of defending the innocent. That's it. You know, they can They can conduct themselves in exactly the same way we can, but they do certain things that we're not capable to do individually. But that's pretty much the only advantage government has. You know, we alone, each of us alone, individually cannot provide for the common defense. There are certain things, for instance, that we require to be defended from foreign enemies. In order to do that, we create government so that we, in the aggregate, can exercise that individual right together. But once again, it's not as if the government, therefore, has the power to go out and prosecute aggressive war on behalf of a ruling oligarchy, which is what our government's been doing now for decades. And people understand this because they have been convinced, large measure because of this vast statist mind laundry that we call the public school system, they've been convinced that government is somehow supernatural. That there's something holy, sanctified, elevated, refined, exalted in government that gives it this power to go out and do things that we individually cannot do. And that's the biggest impediment, I think, to the restoration of our liberty right now, is this bizarre, pious reverence that people have for government as opposed to understanding what it really is and the dangers that it represents.
And, of course, they'll always come back and they say, well, you don't trust government. You're anti-government. And, of course, the thing is, our founding fathers didn't trust government. Our founding fathers were anti-government, which is why they drew up the Constitution the way they did. And what we have to do is learn how to reply to these people because, of course, they'll put us on the defensive. Oh, you're anti-government. And you say, jolly well I am, just like Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. I mean, are you somebody who supports a fascist system? Well, let's put them on the defensive. Hey, we're out of time. When am I going to get those books?
You'll get them next week, I promise.
God bless. Anyway, our guest has been William Grieg. Always a pleasure to have him. We look forward to having him on with us again next week right here at Radio Liberty. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the 2-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course this is the time when I really have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you're in a position to help us, think about giving us a call of 1-800-544-8927 for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more. You'll get our monthly newsletter, you'll get our four best tapes and CDs of the month, but more than that, you'll be helping us maintain our network across America, which is reaching people and hopefully having an effect as we try to make people understand that behind everything going on, behind the CFR, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, the Rosicrucians are powerful spiritual forces, truly demonic forces, that would destroy this country because America was once looked upon as a Christian nation, made up primarily of Christians, with a Christian foundation for our form of government, never to be a theocracy. The whole idea of being a Christian nation was that people were to be able to govern themselves according to the laws of God. And that was why we were different than other nations, because we had people who were self-governing, so we didn't need a tyrant looking after us. For as William Pettit said so well, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. Well, of course, we've got some great new information on the Bilderbergers. If you haven't got our four tapes out on the Bilderbergers, the DVD, The End Game, by put out by Alex Jones, but he did a real good job on that. That's End Game. And then, of course, we have the book by Daniel Estulin called Bilderbergers, The Bilderbergers, and then the one by James Tucker, who's been tracking the Bilderbergers for 25 years or more, and that's called The Bilderberger Diary. Fascinating information. You need to have it. And then to get into the satanic influence there, why, of course, you need to get a four CD set. It's entitled The Satanic Crimes. And then, of course, there's a book that goes along with that. And great information, most of it coming out of Europe, about, of course, this satanic organization. But people aren't going to tell you that. I mean, most people don't even believe that this is real, but there really is another dimension. There really are demonic forces out there, and we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Another great new four CD set is on weather modification. And then, of course, we have a book on weather modification. We have a four tape set on HARP, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, and a book, HARP, the Ultimate Weapon, because, of course, they can alter the jet stream with that. They can heat the atmosphere, and you wonder why we're having all the weather problems across the country, but, of course, it's all top secret. They can't let the American people know the games that they're playing. And, of course, they have the ability to destroy any nation they want to by creating drought there, so they can't produce anything and there's no water. This is against the law, but then who are you going to report it to? So you need, of course, to get the material on weather modification, the four-tape set. There's a DVD we have. We have the book. And, of course, then we have the material on HARP, both the four-tape set and the book, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon. And then, of course, we've got a great new four-tape or four-CD set on spy chips and the book on spy chips. You need to get the information and help us to get it out across America. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and that you'll get the DVD. Incidentally, we are offering, you can get 25 copies of the DVD, which is ordinarily $19.95. You can get 25 copies for $99, and you're only going to be able to get about another week or so, because we're going to go ahead and get them stamped out, and once we have them stamped out, your offer ends. But if you'd like to get 25 copies of the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, why, for $99 plus shipping, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we want people to get that out, to introduce them to the idea that there really is a spiritual battle going on. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment for another exciting program right here at Radio Liberty.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Perutka. And Michael was the Constitutional Party's presidential nomination 3 years ago, good friend, a supporter of Radio Liberty, really the head of the Institute of the Constitution, and trying to educate American people about the importance of the document that separates America from every other nation in the world, and that's our Constitution. And, of course, the tragedy is most of our legislators who have sworn to uphold the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic, are themselves enemies of our Constitution. And so our job is to try to get people to understand the Constitution, to try to get them to understand this idea that there's always been a battle between men and government and the people who ran government always wanted to use power to control others. And but, of course, with the American Constitution, it was just exactly the opposite. And the men who created this country believed that men and mankind was inherently evil, and you could never trust them with power because they knew what had happened in every other civilization that had ever been. They were brilliant people. And, of course, that's why they figured that if you were going to have a free society, you would have to limit the power of government. And that was the secret of our Constitution. You read the Bill of Rights. What does it say? Congress shall make no law reflecting the establishment of religion or limiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. The whole idea of the Declaration of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, was to limit the power of the government over the lives of the people. I bet you never learned that in school. I know I didn't. And I was a minor in history at the University of California. But they cannot let the American people understand that our leaders and our executive branch of government and our judicial branch of government and our legislative branch of government are made up of people who have sworn to uphold the Constitution and have no intention of doing it and will not do it unless, of course, we can educate enough people about this most carefully kept secret, that we were to be free because the power of government was to be limited. And with us now is Michael Perutka. Michael, how are you? And thanks so much for being with us again.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much for your hospitality. It's always good to talk to you and to share these thoughts and try to do our work of restoring the American Constitutional Republic.
Amen to that. Well, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, I hope we could talk a little bit about Institute on the Constitution and what's going on and what we're doing lately and why it's important.
All right, fine. Well, you go right ahead because I think the Institute of the Constitution is very important. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you very much. We began the Institute on the Constitution back just at the turn of the century. I remember, Dr. Stan, our first meeting was actually January 9th of the year 2000. And that, in a sense, seems like a long time ago. And in another sense, it doesn't seem like very long ago at all. So many things have happened and so much has occurred. But But and our programs have grown so much from our first basic course, which is what we call uncovering the foundations, because we do have good foundations in America, as you've talked about many times, and you were just talking about in the introduction. We have a great beginning here in America, and we have a great foundation, but it's all been kind of covered up. And as you've said on many of your programs, and we've talked about it, it's not accidental that it's been covered up and that it's been forsaken. It's happened as a result of some very purposeful and evil design. But what we're trying to do is in our basic course is to uncover those foundations, to teach people basically how to think like Americans again.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Michael Perugia. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest today is Michael Perugia, who is the man who really is behind the Institute of the Constitution. And those of you who listen to our program regularly know that we have David Whitney on all of our programs once a month. And that's each of the audiences that we have talking about the American Constitution. And the reason that we do this is because they don't teach our Constitution in school. Oh, people go to school and they're told about the Constitution, but they're never really told what it was really all about. They're never told that the whole idea behind the Declaration of Independence was that there was a God, and that God created each of us equal before Him. And, of course, because we were all equal under God, we had a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the governments were instituted among men to preserve our God-given rights. That's what the Declaration says. And then the Constitution was laid out to limit the power of government over the lives of the people so they could be free. Well, that has long since been forgotten. It is not taught in our schools. It is not taught in our universities. It's not taught in our law schools. And I dare say that there's probably not more than 1% of our legislators, both state and federal, who really understand what the Constitution is all about. And the secret to liberty is limited government. And so with us, Michael Perugia. Go ahead, pick up the story, Michael.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. You're absolutely right. And I was talking about the goal of the Institute on the Constitution and how we began. And we have our fundamental course, our basic course, which is to teach the fundamentals of American law and government. And, you know, they're set forth pretty clearly and pretty precisely, pretty concisely in the Declaration of Independence you just referred to. And it could be summarized just as simply. There is a God. Our rights come from Him. The purpose of civil government is to protect and defend those God-given rights. When any form of government is destructive of those ends, then it's the right duty of the people to alter or abolish it. It's really just that simple. There is a God. Our rights come from Him. The purpose of government is to protect and defend God-given rights. And that's the way Americans used to think. And that's the way I would argue that an American still thinks.
And of course,
the goal of the Institute on the Constitution is to train people to think like Americans.
And of course, really what's so interesting is that many of the school textbooks, which most of the parents never look at, in many instances when they talk about the Declaration of Independence, they've left out the part about the Creator. I mean, they simply block those words out. Why? Because there's an intense hatred of God on the part of the people who are working behind the scenes to create a world dictatorship. And so they simply don't teach our students about the Creator. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest, Michael Perugia. Michael, you go right ahead and pick the story up.
Well, Dr. Stan, you just made the statement that those who have a different agenda for America and don't want America to be American don't want to acknowledge the Creator. That's why they want to take God out of the public square, if you will, and out of the public discourse, out of the public conversation, and remove any reference to God and acknowledgement of God from the public square. That's why you have all these cases about removing the Ten Commandments, etc. It's because those who would like to see the state as God don't want any competition. They don't want this American view in play here, where we recognize that our rights and all law and government actually comes from God. So if you wanted to destroy America, and if you wanted to get people to not think like and believe like Americans, you would do exactly what they've done, which is to remove the acknowledgement of God from public discourse. You can't say it on TV. You can't say it in the public square. You can't talk about God. You can't have acknowledgments of God in the public square. So, again, at IOTC, Institute on the Constitution, and by the way, people can find out about what we do at IOTCOnline.com. That stands for Institute on the Constitution, IOTCOnline.com. And I have a great announcement for you tonight, if you haven't heard already, Dr. Stan, and I think you probably have, and your listeners have it, but that's that our IOTC basic course is now available online. People can go to our website and sign up for the course. There's a small fee, but you can watch the videos, take the test, get supplemental information, etc., and you can actually take the course online. So it's what do they call it, distance learning? Now we have distance learning at Institute on the Constitution, and we hope in the not too distant future to have all our courses online. But we have our basic course online now, and that's a huge thing, because now you don't have to find a class. Although I do still recommend that people learn this together as a group. There's a dynamic, Dr. Stan, that occurs there when we study together and learn together in a group setting that it doesn't happen when you do it by yourself online. But still, this is a tremendous tool that allows us to reach far, far more people than ever before. So I'm very encouraged by that. That's a very good thing. And like I say, hopefully we'll have our other courses, which include a course on, right now we have a course on the Maryland Constitution. We also, and we're hoping that we can develop courses in other states, in California. There is somebody working on developing a California Constitution course. We have also that same kind of activity underway in Florida, in Virginia, in Georgia, in Montana, and in Washington State. So we are expanding that state constitution ideas, because people need to understand not only the United States Constitution, but the Constitution of their own state in order to think and understand and act and be a good biblical and constitutional citizen of that state and of the United States. So, Dr. Stan, Exodus 18:20 says, "And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do." And that was Moses' command when they instituted the Hebrew Republic, and it's really what we need to do now, and it's really what our mission is at Institute on the Constitution. You shall teach them the statutes and the laws, show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. We're doing nothing less than trying to teach people to think like Americans again.
Amen. I think it's so important that people understand how this system works. Basically, this is a course. There are 12 sessions. You can, of course, there's a half-hour DVD or video, and then there's a question and answers. But all the questions and answers are there in a book, so you don't have to know the answers yourself. They tell you the answers to it. Tell you, put on the course a couple of times, and then you can teach it. But they have Dr. John Eismo, who's a constitutional lawyer, doing the talking and taking people through an understanding of our Constitution. It's really not very long. It's not complicated. The whole idea of freedom and liberty are really very, very simple. It's simply that the fascist element within our society doesn't want people to understand that liberty and limited government are synonymous, and tyranny and total government are synonymous, and that is, of course, why they have their agents planted at every level of our government and the massive bureaucracy to control the people, just like they do in the Soviet Union or Hitler's Germany or Benito Mussolini's Italy. And really, Sidney, what a privilege it is, what a great idea it is to have this course available for people, and they actually get the course, and they can give it over and over again. And you've had these pretty put on in every state, haven't you, Michael?
We have. There have been live classroom presentations of Institute on the Constitution in every state in the Union now, and we're thrilled by that. And Dr. Stan, we've lost count, really, of how many thousands of people have actually taken the course. I'm sorry to say we've lost count, but I'm glad to say we've lost count, because it's a marvelous thing. We really are trying to use a multiplication effect to create true citizen patriots. And if I had to define, or if I had to kind of list a laundry list of attributes of what a citizen patriot would be like, what he would act like, or what he or she would act like and think like, I would say, first of all, that he'd be a disciple of Jesus Christ, not a mere convert to Christianity, and not just somebody who talks the talk, but somebody who's willing to walk the walk. And secondly, I'd say that person would have to have a Christian worldview of law and government. We try very hard in the course to develop that Christian worldview, that biblical worldview of law and government. Of course, thirdly, a person would have to have a working knowledge. This is to be a true citizen patriot. You'd have to have a working knowledge of the United States Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, the United States Bill of Rights. And, of course, you'd have to have a working knowledge of your state constitution and your state Bill of Rights. You'd have to have an understanding of it, a passion for making disciples who will be citizen patriots. So we're also looking to develop people who not only understand this and have a passion for it, but have a passion for sharing it with others.
And, you know, I think it's so interesting that every state constitution talks about God and mentions God in it, and as it does here in California. And yet the Supreme Court has said, oh, my goodness, we can't mention God. We can't mention it in school. You know, we can't have a nativity scene out there. We've got to take down all the crosses from public property. People don't understand that the fascist element understands that those will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. And after all, tyrants want to be tyrants. You know, if you're not a tyrant, why, you know, if you have people who are free, who really understand the foundations of our freedom, why, of course, they cannot establish their dictatorship. People find it hard to believe this could be happening, and yet just look around you. Go out on the freeway and look at all the video cameras that are being put up. Go into your bank and look at all the video cameras that are. Go into the school and look at the video cameras. Go into the 7-Eleven stores and look at the video cameras. Go into the department stores and look at the video cameras. And suddenly you'll find them at intersections all across America. And, of course, we're moving into a police state. Why do you think they want everybody to have an identification card? Why do you think that you're keeping track of everything you buy with your credit cards and your grocery cards? I mean, why is it that suddenly they're trying to convince us that, oh, my goodness, you're going to lose your identity. Somebody's going to steal your identity. But the solution, of course, everybody's going to have it chip in them. And people don't understand that we're being manipulated into accepting all of these things in the name of course, preserving an orderly society. And this is the last thing our founders wanted. They did not want an all-powerful central government. They wanted a decentralized society with a power at the state and mostly at the local level. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're absolutely right. And all those attributes that you just described of what those fascists and what those centralists, what those people who want to consolidate power, all of those things you just described, really aren't you really saying that what they want to be is God?
Amen.
They want to be God. You know, the real God, by the way, doesn't need an RFID chip put under your skin because he knows where you are all the time. He doesn't need all those temporal, artificial, and evil methodologies. He does know where you are because he really is God. But those who wish to play God or wish to try to assume the role of God, wish to try to be the Lord, they need to do all those things. And interestingly, as you alluded to, they really don't have the power to do it unless we give it to them. They really can't exert that kind of control unless they convince us that we should give it to them. So there's all these scare tactics, as you describe, of your identity might be stolen, so give it to us.
Right. We want to put a chip in you, and that's the way we'll protect you from those bad guys who want to steal your identity, because these people want to steal our souls. And there's a spiritual force behind everything going on out there. This is what people really don't understand. If they've read the book The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, It has been featured twice, at least twice, on Oprah Winfrey and certainly with Larry King and Jim Carrey, Ellen DeGeneres. We're told, of course, this will give you the secret that will lead to your prosperity. If you get the book and you read it, you find the ultimate secret at the end. And what is that? You are God. It may sound, that sounds foolish, but you are God. That's what they want to tell you. Well, of course, that, of course, is the Gnostic concept. It's a Luciferian concept. Lucifer wants to convince you. You have the power to do everything. You don't have to have a God. He gives you power. You don't have to agree with the Ten Commandments. We don't want all these, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt do this. We want to give you total freedom. But, of course, with total freedom comes chaos, anarchy and chaos, and that's what they want, so they can establish their dictatorship in America. Well, go right ahead, Michael.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I was giving you a little laundry list here of the things that we're trying to do at Institute on the Constitution. That if we said, well, what do we want a citizen patriot to look like? What do we want him to be? And I just quickly going back over, and we said we want him to be a disciple of Christ. We want him to have a Christian worldview of law and government. We want him to have a knowledge, a working knowledge of the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and also a working knowledge of the state constitution. We want him to have an understanding and a passion for making disciples of others, so that others can share this view and be brought back from the abyss that we're all marching into here, as we just described. And lastly, we'd like that person to have a commitment to working, have a commitment to working for true patriots who are running for office, who are in office. And if those people don't exist, and you and I know there's scant few of them, then we want to raise up an army of people who will run for civil office, and also take their places within the churches, so that there can be a revival within the churches, so that these proper understandings, these proper biblical jurisdictions can be understood. So that's what we're really trying to do at Institute on the Constitution. I mentioned our basic course that now is can be taken online. In addition, we have a course on the Maryland Constitution I mentioned. We also have a course on how to be a good juror, what the role of a jury is. And you know, many people say that the jury really is the fourth branch of government. We talked about the three branches of government, the legislative and the judicial and the executive, but really the jury is, properly understood, can be a fourth branch of government because it can act as a check and a balance against the overreaching of all of the other three. And we would like for people to take our jury course, which hopefully soon will be online for people to take, and understand that they instead of shirking and avoiding jury duty, as many of us do, we would be anxious and willing to go and be a good biblical constitutional juror, which would be a great benefit for every state and every jurisdiction within the state, and for our country, so that justice. So that we can help to establish justice by ending the injustice that exists in our courts today. So we strongly advise that jury course. Also, we have a course that we've developed on why churches shouldn't be corporations. This is a huge issue, and is a tool of those who have an allegiance to centralized government, one world government. They want to silence the churches, and so they make the churches corporations, or encourage the churches to ask to become corporations. And of course, if a church is a corporation, now its allegiance is to, and it's owned by, the state. It's the head of any corporation is the state, and of course, the head of any church is Jesus Christ. So you have a conflict there that's going to become a conflict of interest at some point, sooner or later, and usually it's sooner. So all of these things are things that I urge folks to learn about and get materials about. Again, they can go to iotconline.com. That stands for Institute on the Constitution. It's IOTCOnline.com.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Michael Perutia. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was simply saying that if we're going to be able to preserve our society, we're going to have a lot of Christians out there who are willing to get involved in the political process. And we're not trying to create a theocracy. We're trying to get people in government who believe in the Constitution, who believe in limited government. And, of course, the only way you can have limited government is to have people who can govern themselves and are answerable to God and who fear God. Because if people don't fear God, why, of course, there can be no freedom. So pick the story up there, Michael.
Well, sure. And Dr. Stan, you know, you said that we don't want a theocracy. And in one sense of theocracy, of course, I absolutely agree with you. We don't want a theocracy. We don't want the head of the church running the head of the civil government. We don't want that, because there is, properly understood, a proper way to understand the separation of church and state. It's not what's commonly understood today, but there is a proper understanding, and we want to acknowledge that. But if theocracy means godly rule, then we do want that. John Lofton points this out to me all the time. He says, if what somebody means by a theocracy is godly rule, then I'm for that. We're for that. We want, because we recognize that not only individuals, but also the other jurisdictions of the other government jurisdictions, which include self-government, family government, church government, and state or civil government, all of those governments are subject to God's authority. And the way I, Dr. Stan, I'm actually working on a presentation now that I'm doing, and the way that I'm using this is to imagine the four walls of a room. If you're in a room that has four walls right now, or your listeners are in a room that has four walls and a ceiling, then think of each wall as a jurisdiction. It has limits, it has corners, it has a top and a bottom. And on one wall, think of that as self-government. Say the wall that's behind you is self-government. And on another wall to your left, you could think of, with a big F on it, it's family government. And across the way is church government on another wall. And on the back wall back there is state government, or what we sometimes call civil government. Those are all separate jurisdictions, and any time you have one jurisdiction doing the work or assuming the power or usurping the power of a jurisdiction that's on another wall, you're going to have chaos and tyranny and trouble. Only bad things happen when jurisdictions and authorities don't stay on their own wall. And, of course, over top of it all, if you consider the ceiling or the roof and the ceiling and coming down through all the walls, that's God's jurisdiction. He ordained all of that, and he is over top of all of that. He's not just on the ceiling. He's the whole universe. He's sovereign over, of course. But just using that example, we always have difficulties when somebody gets off one wall and gets on another. And let me just give you a brief example if I have time here. Let's just say that, Dr. Stan, let's just say, for example, that I walk out my back door and I can see over, because I'm on my porch, I can see over into your yard. You live next door to me, and I can see that your weeds are coming up and you're not tending your yard as well as I'm tending my yard. And so because I think I am better at what you do than you are, and let's just say for a second that I am, probably not, but let's just say that I am. Let's say that I jump over the fence and I start doing work in your yard. I start taking over your yard. It doesn't matter whether I actually could do it better than you. It's still not my yard. It's not my jurisdiction. It's not my place. It's not my right. Imagine if I came into your house and I started and I had a better choice of colors or window treatments than your wife did, Dr. Stan, and I started saying, well, I'm going to change this color in this room, and I'm going to rearrange this furniture, and I'm going to put new window treatments up on your windows. I would be out on my ear in a big hurry, because I would have violated, maybe I do have a better choice of colors, but I would have violated your jurisdiction, or particularly probably your wife's jurisdiction. So I would have gotten kicked out on my ear, and rightly so, because even if I'm better than you are, I shouldn't be doing that. I don't have any authority to do that. Now, that civil government on the back wall, back to my picture in the room where the civil government, state government's on the back wall, the state government now is trying to teach us how to, is teaching our children, and violating, the government schools violate the family jurisdiction. It's telling churches that they're corporations and what they can preach and can't preach from their pulpits. So it's violating the church jurisdiction. It's putting RFD chips in me, so it's violating the wall behind me, the self-government, the self-jurisdiction. And, of course, what it thinks it is, it thinks it's on the ceiling, doesn't it? It thinks it's God and that it can, it has the right and the authority to usurp all of those jurisdictions. And that's really the problem. That civil government on the back wall, we've let it up on the ceiling. And, of course, in the
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Michael Perutka. Michael, go right ahead with your thoughts.
Well,
and you were telling us about the various names on the wall there, the family government, the certainly the church government, the civil government, and, of course, God overlaps all of them. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you. I was using that word picture, Dr. Stan, and what I'm the point I'm trying to make is we've let the civil government, we've let that state government, which just God ordained to have certain limited functions and limited jurisdiction, we've allowed it to assume the role of God. And, of course, then it doesn't surprise us that in trying to assume the role of God, it wants to hide the acknowledgement of the real God from the rest of us. And that's why we see that happening. That's why they work against the acknowledgement of God in the public square and in the schools, et cetera. So, in the media. So that's why we see that happening. I'm just trying to utilize that little word picture to say the different jurisdictions, the different governments that God's ordained: self, church, family, and state. All of those have to be held accountable by the other jurisdictions and kept right on the wall where they belong and not allowed to transgress and usurp onto other walls in the other jurisdictions. That's just a kind of a word picture that I try to use with folks. And I was in Georgia a couple of weeks ago, and I used that in a little talk that I gave. And actually, I had little signs that just said F on one wall and S on the other for state, for self, and civil government. And I had... And a pastor who was in the congregation, Dr. Stan, said to me, "Hey, can I have those signs? I want to use them in my sermon tomorrow." So I said, "Of course." And he did. And he did do that. So I'm hopeful that that's a helpful little word picture that folks can use.
Well, I think people have to understand that the first and most important thing is self-government. You've got to be able to govern yourself, but none of us can do that alone. I mean, if we are left to make all the decisions on our own, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. That's why we have to be subservient to God and follow His laws. And He's got it pretty well worked out there with the Tenth Commandment, the Ten Commandments, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. And that is why the Supreme Court has held that you can't post the Ten Commandments in the schoolroom, because if you posted the Ten Commandments, they wouldn't do any good unless the children read them. And if they've read them, they might obey them. And, of course, that would be a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Perutka. And, Michael, before we go on, why don't you get out the information on how people can get to your website and get the information and the various kits that you have.
Sure. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. If people just go to IOTConline.com, and IOTC, of course, stands for Institute on the Constitution, IOTConline.com. They can find information about how they can get the kit, what we call our host lecture kit, and other materials that I've discussed, including people can also obtain our, what we call our First Friday video series. They can get one or more of our First Fridays. And what we do on the first Friday of every month, Dr. Stan, we invite in a guest speaker to take the fundamental principles that we've been studying give us an application, a real life application of those principles in the real world today. For example, our speaker in November was Representative Bobby Franklin, who is a Georgia State legislator, and he gave just a marvelous talk, which is available now. And if you go to IOTC online, you can order his presentation. It was just a tremendous presentation. Also, last summer we had Chief Justice Roy Moore, and he gave us just a wonderful presentation back in July. He actually helped us to host a conference where we discussed these fundamental issues, fundamental principles of American law and government with pastors. It was put on for the purpose of educating pastors in these proper jurisdictional questions that we were just talking about. And that one is available also if you go online to iotconline.com. So I urge people to do that. These materials, we've gone through a lot of trouble to try to make them as excellent as possible and as helpful as possible for all people. And I really encourage people to do that.
Well, I think it's very, very important, and I think what you're doing is important, Michael, because we've got to reach as many people as we can in the time God's allotted to us. And the American people must once again understand what a wonderful document we have. There is no document in the entire world like our American Constitution. And the basic concept that you could establish a government with limited authority, and that authority was to be limited throughout all time. That, of course, is the secret of our Constitution. Limit the power of government so the men could be free. Isn't it strange we never talk about that in our churches? We never talk about it, certainly in our universities or our schools, and you never hear anybody in the legislative halls in Washington, D.C., or even the state talking about this unique idea of liberty by limiting the power of government. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, one very hopeful sign. I was mentioning Bobby Franklin. I really urge people to go online and get. And by the way, if you need to call us, if you want to call us instead of going online, you can phone us at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. One more time, 866-730-9796, and that will get you up with a member of our staff. And you were saying very few of our legislators understand this. Bobby Franklin is a legislator from nearby Atlanta, Georgia. He's a state rep, and Dr. Stan, he does understand this, and he votes against every unconstitutional measure that is put forth by the Georgia legislature, and he explains to his colleagues why. And now, you can imagine in his position that is a fairly lonely thing to do sometimes, because you run into a great deal of not only people who don't pay attention to what you're doing, but people who actually mock and dishonor and criticize what you're doing, and most of the people who do that. That dishonoring and that mocking are, in fact, call themselves Christians. They're people who ran on a platform saying that they were for limited government and that they did understand a biblical view, but they, many times, out of expedience or out of cowardice or peer pressure or whatever, or just their desire to be reelected, they don't uphold these principles. We have very few people in office now, very, very few, count on maybe on one hand, in the country, of people who are in office who really are share that same American worldview as our founding fathers. We've lost it in a sense. I heard somebody use the phrase that said, "We're presiding over the bleached bones of a constitutional of America." we're at remnant stage here now, and I don't say that because I'm discouraged. I say it because it's time to be encouraged. It's time to do something about it. It's time to understand this information. It's time to understand this worldview. It's time to learn it, study it, teach it to our children, teach it to our family, and teach it to our community, and teach it to those in our church, and to start to apply it. We are living in an age when it's very clear what we need to do. One would say, oh, well, things are so desperate. Well, yeah, they are. But in another sense, in another way, you could say, well, things are so clear. They've never been clearer. We need to reinvigorate and reconnect Americans with their true history, their unrevised history of liberty under law and where law comes from. So this is, I just exhort people, I exhort your folks, Dr. Stan, to go to the website, call the number 866-730-9796, and start getting busy with this.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to talk to Michael, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Michael's been at this, he's into the eighth year now. And Sydney, you know, this is an exciting program. It's being utilized in every state across the United States. And really what's so interesting is the other side never talks about it. They don't attack Michael, at least not openly, because they don't want people to understand that there is a program, an educational program, coordinated all across America to teach people about the Constitution, which, you know, 100 years ago, everybody understood the Constitution. 100 years ago, everybody understood that liberty and limited government were synonymous. 100 years ago, everybody understood that we had a unique form of government, because, of course, the power of the government over the lives of the people was limited by the change of the Constitution, and people could quote the speeches that have been given by Jefferson and John Adams and certainly by the other founders of this country, by George Washington. They all knew this, but, of course, at that time it was taught in our schools. And then, step by step, they took any knowledge or acknowledgement of what this was about out of our schools, so that most people really believe that the government can do whatever it wants to. If they want to have socialized medicine to help the people, fine. Certainly if they want to expand the government, to regulate what goes on in our schools, that's fine. There's no authorization in the Constitution for most of the things the government is doing. And believe me, if you think medicine is expensive now, you wait till it's free and the government are providing it for you for nothing. And eventually you'll get to the point it is in Eastern Europe where they have socialized medicine, and you can't get in to see the doctor unless you bribe the nurse. You can't get treatment from the doctor unless you bribe the doctor. You can't get into the hospital until you bribe the hospital administrator. But it's all free. It's just that you can't use it. Go ahead.
Well, no. I'm sorry, Dustin. I'm smiling by your statement that if you think it's expensive now, wait till it's free. Then that's the great lie of socialism, isn't it? The great lie is that you're going to get something for nothing. But we live in a country where we can clearly see the lie, the negative effects of it. We keep doing it anyway. We keep doing it more and more anyway. We've become so socialized in America. I know that. It's almost like we're inside the forest and we can't see any trees, and we don't see the trees because they're everywhere. We don't see socialism anymore because it's everywhere. We're swimming in a vat, in a pool, in a pond of socialism, and so we're saturated with it. We don't see it. But once again, that's why I believe it's so important, Dr. Stan, for people to start to think like Americans again, to stop. And that's what we try to do with this bill in the Constitution, to take us back to the foundational principles, take us back to what the words our founders said. We were clearly founded on these principles, and we were we were blessed for America to kind of come of age in a time when these principles were well understood in the world, and they were. This is a result of the, you know, of the Reformation, and other things that happened in history. The printing of the widespread printing of the Bible. All of these things made it possible for men, after a period of time, for this biblical worldview to disperse, so that it could become the foundation of a government. And we were blessed, and we are blessed to live in a country founded on those principles. And we have squandered it. We are squandering it. You don't have to look any further than the elections. And people talk about this on your programs. I'm not sure, but you know, in the news today, you know, McCain and Romney and. None of those people have a clue about American law and government. The only one that I believe is anywhere near qualified to be president is Ron Paul. He does have a constitutional understanding. But the rest of those folks, both sides of the aisle, they have, you know, people ask me all the time, because I was the candidate in 2004, I'm asked to come on, you know, radio programs now and again, or I'm asked when I'm in public somewhere to... And even privately, well, what do you think of this candidate or that candidate, or who? What's your view of the election process? And I really couldn't tell you McCain over Romney or Barack over somebody. It just, because none of them are American. It would be like if you wanted to vote for them to run some fascist internationalist regime. Maybe we could talk about it, but not to run America. None of them are qualified, Dr. Stan.
You're absolutely right. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Texas, from Beaumont, Texas. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
You have a question for our comment.
Well, I was listening to y'all, and one thing that is crammed down our throats nowadays is that we're a democracy instead of a republic, which is what you're talking about.
Isn't it amazing that everybody says we're a democracy? The president says it, our elected officials say it, the media says it, this is what they teach in school, and yet you can read the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and the Federalist Papers and never see the word democracy used, and to say that we don't want a democracy. You see, democracies always lead to dictatorships. Go ahead, John.
Something that... I saw a long time ago on public TV, I think it was that Ho Chi Minh, they were going to declare independence, and they actually had a Statue of Liberty and everything, because they admired the United States so much, and they said he really admired Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
And you've been talking about Vietnam and that here lately also. And I guess one other thing I'll say is, you know, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And y'all talked about the occult and stuff like that the other night a whole bunch. And, you know, that may be what a lot of the problem is the freedom to choose, and, you know, the devil doesn't give you one.
Amen to that. What would your response be to what John's saying, Michael?
Well, on the point he makes about democracy, I couldn't agree more. It's almost... It's almost comical. You know, back when, do you remember that time when George Bush was introducing John Roberts? Nobody had heard of John Roberts from a national standpoint, but George Bush was introducing him in the Oval Office there because he was going to appoint him to the Supreme Court. Then, of course, later on, he appointed him to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But by my count, when John Roberts made his first public remarks there, thanking the president, he called us a democracy three times.
And you wonder why? Do you wonder if he's ever read the Constitution? If he really understands the Constitution, he understands that our founding fathers feared democracy because they knew the people would always tend to vote for the politician who promised to give them the most, and eventually they'd vote themselves into tyranny.
Yeah, well, see, democracy now, and John probably knows this. Forgive me for saying things that you already know, but of course, democracy is a code word now. It's a buzzword. It really means socialism, but they don't want to say socialist or communist, so they say democratic. when words or names of these internationalist groups become unpopular, then they change them. And so Democrat, when we hear democratic in America, we've been trained to think about good things. That's a good thing, democracy. We're making the world safer, democracy. We're spreading democracy across. We're fighting wars for democracy. Of course, what we don't know is the word doesn't mean what we think it means.
I think it's really important. If you go back and you read Plato's Republic, what Plato said was over 2,500 years ago, democracy passes into despotism. Certainly our founding fathers understood this. I mean, the last thing they wanted was for America to become a democracy, and the tyrants, of course, gaining control of the media and the educational system, were able eventually to convince everybody we were a democracy. And those of us who try to point this out, they scoff and ridicule, but, you know, this is the truth, because, of course, as Plato said, democracy passes into despotism. Anything else, John?
No, sir, I just was listening and thought I'd just say that, you know.
I appreciate so much your call, and God bless. I think it's so important that we keep hammering away at these basic principles and basic fundamentals. And isn't it a shame that they never mention this in schools today? I doubt that there's one school in California where they teach people what's wrong with democracy. Because, of course, our founding fathers did not want the people to be able to vote themselves into tyranny. That's why we were to have a republic with the power of government limited over the lives of the people. John, God bless. Thanks very much. And, of course, our guest has been Michael Perutka. Michael, you hang on there. We've got a few more minutes. But certainly, it's important that people begin to understand that the media is controlled, the educational system is controlled. And you go back and you read the Federalist Papers, number 10, what James Madison said about democracy. And, of course, they hated the idea of democracy. Well, Michael, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And as always, it's a great honor to be on your program. Thanks for sharing your time with me, and I appreciate being able to talk with your audience. I would just encourage people to consider that we really are in serious times now, and that we have a duty. At Institute on the Constitution, we say the consequences and the harvest is up to God, but you've got to plow your row. We have a row to plow, and when you see a brother plowing his row, then you should do all you can to help him. And what we think that is so important now with our road to plow is to try to reconnect the American people with their own history and heritage of liberty under law. I quoted Exodus 18:20 a little while ago, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. And that's our ultimate goal is to restore the American constitutional representative republic. We're not trying to do something revolutionary, Dr. Stan. We're not trying to We're doing like the English noblemen tried to do when they had King John sign the Magna Carta back in 1215 at Runnymede. They were trying to reassert the ancient rights of Englishmen under those rights that came from God. And that's what we're trying to do. This is not a revolution. It's a restoration. And that restoration right now needs to take place in the field of education. We need to learn and to teach others those things which we should have learned as children. Maybe some of us did, but the two great vehicles in America, the two great evil vehicles, the public school system, the government school system, and the major media have helped to stamp out of our understanding. And that's this American view of law and government. There is a God. Our rights come from Him. The purpose of civil government is to protect and defend those God-given rights. That's the American view. That's what we try to... We're trying to reinvigorate in America so that people think like Americans and react like Americans and believe like Americans again. So people can find out about that by going to iotconline.com, iotconline.com, or calling us at 866-730-9796, 866-730-9796. Thomas Jefferson said, "Anyone who desires to be ignorant and free desires what never was, and never will be." So I urge you and I exhort you not to be ignorant, but to be free, and to raise your children for God. So, Dr. Stan, thank you so much for your time, and it's just been a pleasure to be with you.
We'll look forward to talking to you next month. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and it was almost 200 years ago when Professor Alexander Tyler wrote this. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until a majority of the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. And from that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy and always end up as a dictatorship. Alexander Hamilton had said this. You know, it has been observed that a pure democracy, if it were practicable, would be the most perfect government. But experience has proven that no position is more false than that. The ancient democracies in which the people themselves deliberated never possessed one good feature of government. Their very character was tyranny, their figure deformity. Well, we put together a little pamphlet. It's called We Are a Republic. It's a compilation of five of our newsletters, and if they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. It's only $3.95 plus shipping. We Are a Republic. You need to have these facts at your fingertips, the quotations at your fingertips. You need to know where you can verify what we're saying. Because, of course, if we are not a democracy, it means that the entire media is controlled. And, of course, the answer is, of course it's controlled. That was the first thing the tyrants did. And if you doubt that the media is controlled, you need to get the video, pardon me, the book. It's called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bekdakian. You probably would want to see my talk on the world revolution. You probably think that Fidel Castro is our enemy. Well, of course, that's what you're supposed to think, but our government brought him to power. And if you get the video or DVD on the world revolution, you'll see my interview with Earl Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Russian Revolution, at the time of the Cuban Revolution, the only billionaire I've ever had the privilege of interviewing. And he tells you how we brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. They knew he was a communist, but we can't let the American people know that. In fact, David Rockefeller's daughter is very close to Fidel Castro. And if you haven't read David Rockefeller's memoirs, we carry that book here at Radio Liberty. So let me suggest you get the pamphlet, We Are a Republic, that you get the DVD or video, World Revolution, with my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution. We will tell you how Fidel Castro never won the revolution. He never won a battle. We brought him to power, and of course we've kept him in power ever since then. You have to have an enemy so the people will rally behind the government to protect us from the wicked Fidel Castro. But isn't it interesting that David Rockefeller's daughter is very close to Fidel Castro, and David has met with Fidel Castro privately. I sort of figure they must be sitting around just laughing at how foolish the American people are. How you can convince them of just about anything. Well, if you'd like to get the book, Memoirs by David Rockefeller, it's available from Radio Liberty. There's so much information. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. In fact, I got a call today from some fellow who had seen it, and he'd shown it to his minister, and his minister wanted to take it to church to show to his people, because unfortunately so many of our churches are not telling us about the hidden forces, the occult forces, the esoteric forces which control our lives today. That's the Forbidden Secret. We have a 4-tape set called The Secret Behind the Secret. If you would like to know about the Bilderbergers, why you'd want to get the book, or the 4-tape set, Satanic Crimes, you get them both together. You want to get, of course, the book on the Bilderbergers by Daniel Estulin, the book Bilderberger Diary by James Tucker. You want to get our 4-tape set on the Bilderbergers and and the video, the DVD we have by Alex Jones entitled Endgame. And we'll actually take you to one of the Bilderberger meetings as they watch these people of great wealth going inside. But believe me, these are wicked and evil people, and they have an agenda, and that is to control you and to destroy humanity. Please remember our number, 1-800-544-